All right, so then let's go ahead and start. So I sent out the agenda for this conference call, I think two days ago. I think it's pretty straightforward in terms of the first three agenda items, which are basically the same as during the last conference call. The things that we need to discuss specifically, I think, during this call is the feedback that we received from the webinar last week. And I took two main points of feedback there. One was on the rules of engagement, and the second one was on how and if we would like to share botnet information through the list or some other means. Okay, so that's why the agenda looks like this. You guys okay with the agenda?
Yep.
Yep.
To the operational issues, let's first go through the action points, which are in the Excel and the PDF that I sent along with that email. So the first open action point is action point 24, which is to provide a cost estimate of the final seeker system. I think we should close this one because we established a few conference calls ago that this is going to be the final seeker system, and that's, let's say, the development of an advanced system, if that's required at all, will be out of scope of this working group. So I propose to close that action point. Then we have action point 33, to organize webinars. That's something we did, so we can close that one too. Then we have action point 37, which is mine, to create a two-pager out of the TLD Ops overview document. This is something that I haven't been able to do that yet, but I asked one of our communications people to help me out here, so he's going to create a two-pager along with, you know, a fancy-looking layout and hopefully some sort of innovative way to print it and to distribute it. So this is something that I'm expecting to get next week somewhere, and I will show the PDF on the list first, of course. So that one's ongoing. Then we have 41, which is Fred and Jacques, to get the script running on the Mailman server and to test it. This is, I guess, the monthly script. You guys have any information on that, Fred? Jack?
No, DNS Org, they didn't get back to me, but for now, when the script runs, we just click the button to make it run until Org fixes it.
Oh, right. That's the problem with the sender address.
Yeah.
The root. And do you have any information on that weekly script that Fred wrote?
Nope. That I don't.
Okay. So we will need to get that information from Fred, I think, on the mailing list.
I'm going to see him next week in Dallas.
Oh, at the ICF.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. So could you perhaps check up with him and see if what the status is of the let's say the weekly reminder script?
Okay.
So then we have. Hold on, just making a note here. So then we have action. So I'm leaving 41 open because we don't have the. Actually, we can close it because we know it's running, but the sender address needs to be changed, right? So it's a different action point.
Yep.
Okay. So different action points. Maybe sender address needs to change. All right. Cool. So then we have 53, which is to update the welcome message to include the rules of engagement. I haven't done this yet because we received feedback on the rules of engagement that we proposed, so let's discuss that first during this call. Then, so I'm going to leave that one open. Then action point 54 is to plan an evaluation around February of next year. Okay, that's a long-term action point, so we don't really need that one. Then action point for me to send an email to Gengda to hand out the TLD Ops two-pager at the Asia-Pacific meeting. So I sent out the email, but I didn't have the two-pager, and Gengda also didn't get back to me.
Gengda has joined the Adobe Connect room, so maybe, okay. Gengda, if you have any comments, you can always write that in the chat room.
Yeah.
Gengda, if you can hear us, can you please write something in the chat room? No, it doesn't seem that Gengda is following us.
Oh. All right. So in any case, I think this whole action point is in the past, so we can close it. Okay, so then there's another action point also related to the two-pager, which is 56, to distribute it within Centrum. Obviously, that's something we haven't done yet because the two-pager is not there yet, so we'll keep that one open too. Then a similar action point is 57, so we'll keep that one open also. Then 58 is to keep ICANN, IANA, and ASAC in the loop on our progress. This is like an ongoing thing, so I haven't really talked to ICANN or IANA or ASAC specifically the last couple of weeks, but perhaps this is something that we should do at the beginning of next month. Yeah, maybe I should just write an email to Patrick and to Kim and John about that. So that I will send them a status update through email. So email Patrick, John, and Kim the current status. Okay. All right. So then we have action point 61, to review Jacques' proposal for the rules of engagement. I think that we can close that one because the draft led to the one that we used in the webinar on which we received feedback. Close 61. Then 62, assisting contact registries from your region. I think that's an open action point for everyone, so we'll just leave it there for a while. Then 63 is to contact Leonid Todorov. I think you did that, Gabi.
Yep, he has forwarded everything.
Okay, so we'll close that one. Then 64, contact the general manager of your regional organization. I still need to do this for Centrum. So I will do that next week after you have the draft of the two-pager. Then invite non-SKC CCTLDs to the TLD Ops mailing list. That's an action point for, let's say, for later on, because I set the deadline to May 1st. But Gabi every now and then also invites these IDNs. So that's not really a high priority thing right now. Then 66 is to set up the next seeker working group call, which is also closed. Okay, and then 67 through 71 are action points that came out of the webinar. I simply added them to this list. So first of all, we need to review the color codes of the rules of engagement. We'll do that during this call. 68 is, do we allow for sharing information on botnets? That's also the topic of this call. 69, how to liaise with the broader incident response community without actually integrating them into, you know, this group of security and stability contacts. But my proposal here would be, while this is a relevant comment, my proposal would be that we add this to the final report as an open issue that we need to somehow resolve after this working group. What do you guys think of that? Or do you think that this is something that would be within the scope of this working group?
We should talk about it.
I think it should be at least, let's say, a section in the final report. But, let's say, I'm not sure how to... we could produce a proposal on how to liaise with the broader incident response community. We should, I think, definitely not try to add those people on this list. So we need some other mechanism to interact with them.
I think, well, like you said, maybe a paragraph that on the mailing list, people might get, you always have to deal with your local cert, so you need to liaise with your national CCERT and regional CCERT and different communities. If it's a spamming problem, then you go to spam mailing list. If it's a botnet, then you have different mailing lists to go to and groups. So.
Yeah, actually, this might be one of the topics that we might want to, put in the next working group or a next working group, along with the thing that we discussed previously on how to integrate the security and stability contacts in the IANA database, for example.
Yeah.
Somewhat related.
Yeah.
My proposal will be not to do that within this working group, but at the very least, provide a recommendation in the final report as to how to approach this relevant question, I think. All right. So let's close this action point, and I will add a section to the final report, the draft of it, so that we can cover it in that document. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. And then we have action point 70, which is to add a paragraph in the charter and also in the welcome message on the confidentiality of the names and phone numbers of the members who were on the list. I think this was a comment that was provided by, I forgot the guy's name, but he's from Chile.
Yeah.
He's with the Chile Registry. And I think this is a valid point, so this is something I will do for the next iteration of the overview document. And then we have another suggestion which was made by Peter. Peter Koff from .de to add a pointer to material about how to encrypt communications, which would be helpful, as he says, to encourage subsequent secure communication between the folks on the Tele Ops list. So I think that's a good point also. Of course, the risk is that the messages will get very long, but maybe we should add that pointer to the CCNSO. Sorry, the TLD Ops homepage on the CCN's website.
I think the website says fine, yeah.
Yeah. So are you guys able to provide maybe a few links or documents that would, describe how to, install PGP on your laptop, for example?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of... Yeah. There's Windows solution and Unix solution, so.
And a Mac solution.
Yeah. So maybe we would need, three pointers, one for folks that are on Windows, one for folks on Apple, and one for folks on Linux, so that they know how to, where to go to install, PGP desktop or whatever these softwares are called. Would one of you guys be willing to take that action point?
Erwin said yes.
Excuse me?
I don't know anything about the Windows side, but I can do Mac and Linux.
Okay.
I can give. I can show how it works on or describe how it works on Windows because I'm using it. So.
Okay. Thanks. Linux, and Mac. Okay, thanks guys. All right, so those were the action points. Going back to the agenda, so we're now at agenda item number 3, which is Tele Ops status and operational issues. Gabi, you briefly mentioned at the beginning of the call you had a few things you would like to discuss in this regard.
Yes. Well, first of all, I can just give you an update that we're today 71 CCTLDs subscribed, including 3 non-ASCII, and yeah, slowly but steadily growing. There are some things that I've noticed that, well, whilst dealing with this, and I thought that would be worth raising. First of all, just to note that several registries have actually requested to have more than 3 subscribers. So I've been replying that yes, we will probably allow that at a later stage. So just to note this, it's actually for many registries it seems to be an issue. So and that's something that they desire. Then the second thing is, Christian, maybe if you're updated, going to update the messages. I think it would be good to have in the welcome in the invitation, as well as the message in case we get a request to mention that we don't allow generic addresses, because it's nothing in there, and I have in several occasions I had to discuss with them and explain why we don't allow generic addresses, and there's actually no mention of it in the invitation. So I think it would be good to add something about that.
Yeah.
And while speaking about these generic addresses, there's one issue that I just wanted to update you about. I have been talking to Christian about it because I wasn't really sure how to handle it, because there are some accounts that are generic, but they're bound to one person only. For instance, CEO at whatever, dot whatever. There's no other person that has this address, and it's clear that it's bound to one person. And I have actually on 3 occasions in total now accepted such addresses, because the people said, well, this is the address they are using. They don't have any other address in our registry, and they are the only persons bound to this address. And if the address seemed to be like chief technical officer or CEO, or when it seemed to me that indeed it seems it's just one person that can be dedicated to this address, then I have allowed it in the end. I know it's not 100% clear, but I also thought it's I can understand why people want to subscribe with this address. So I just wanted to raise this issue as well, that in some cases I thought I have to let that through. It's just if their address is like admin at something, then I haven't allowed it, because it's not clear who actually else could be subscribed to that.
Yeah, personally, I'm curious to know what you guys think, but personally, I don't have a problem with that if this person with the generic address also provides his or her name with his or her phone number. And also, if there are several other people off that same registry on the list with their personal email address.
I think that's important. That's a key thing there. I could use my CIO or CEO, whatever address here, but the name and the phone number, that's what we're looking for. The actual email address itself is not the important thing.
What do you think, Irvin?
Yeah, I'm thinking that especially when they change the person, we'd like, especially if we think ahead for DNS ops list, we want to base trust in persons and not in roles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a tricky question. So I think Gabby made the right call and made the right compromise here, because it's obviously not what we really want, but we don't want them not to get on the list right now either. So
yeah,
especially getting the name and phone number right for the person, then we should allow it. But if it's anything clearly a group account, like we saw from Namibia, that's not me on the list right now.
Yeah. But let's say that there's a hypothetical situation in which a registry submits the name of a person plus that person's phone number. Both are personal, but with a generic address, and we cannot really assess if that's a mailing list group or a personal address. Do we still allow it? Yeah, the names and phone numbers, then we can do it. Yeah.
Because we have one for RW, which is what role? I have no clue.
Rwanda.
So they got knock at ricta.org.rw. So there's the individual name, a phone number, and knock at something.
Okay.
So if you have organization with high staff rollover, then potentially knock will make it to the whoever is there in that function, and then they should update back their list with their proper phone number. So small organization, I think it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the so we could refine the rule a little bit in saying that if we use IHF terminology, we say that you must provide your a personal name and a personal phone number, and you should provide a personal email address.
Yeah.
In some cases, I have. You know, I have been mailing back and asking, is there a way that we could just change this to a, you know, more personal email address? And in most cases, it's been okay. They actually came back with another email address.
That's
but
okay.
We don't
need to document it, but we should enforce it.
Yeah.
Try to.
Yeah, I was also thinking about Eberhard. Because he actually suggested that perhaps he said that he would only accept role-based email addresses, that he only wants to work with that. So if we could perhaps get him on the list if we ask him for a name and a phone number.
Yeah.
But then we should be careful there.
Yeah, he was trying to get three people on the list with. I think he did send three names and. Possibly three phone numbers, but the
he
same
did,
email
but
address.
They, exactly. That was the difference. It was obvious that this was an email address that was shared by many people.
Okay.
So that it was different because they all share the same address.
Okay, yeah, that's what we don't want. Yeah. I agree.
And I think if we want to base the list on trust in the people on the list, then with that kind of account, we have no idea if they're going to change personnel and that would undermine the trust of the list.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Yeah. Okay. So you made the right call, I think, Gabi.
Good to know. Yeah, these were all the three points I could think of right now. So otherwise, it's slowly but steadily growing, and I might come back to all of you and ask you for your help to reach. Out to members of your region, but right now it's slowly but steadily growing.
The two pager will help us a little bit because so one thing we can do at least is to put the two pager share the two pager with the regional organizations as we discussed during the action items, the action points. But we could also put it on the. We may also want to, have a few printed copies if it's something attractive that we can actually hand out to people while we're at the IETF or at ICANN meetings or at WRITE meetings to give people a physical reminder of the existence of a list and to join it. So I'm hoping that this will also help. All right. So, looking back the agenda, so we just had the operational issues. Thanks for that, Gabi, for your feedback. And then agenda item number four is the rules of engagement. We had a draft solution a couple weeks ago. And I merged that, or tried to merge it into this table that's in the presentation of the webinar. So that's the slide rules of engagement. And from what I understood from the people that were on at the webinar, they said, okay, you need to be careful with those colors because incident response people use them apparently in a different way. And there was also a feedback, there was also some feedback by Peter who actually suggested that the color code might not be needed at all if the mailing list was only being used as a contact repository, which is its primary purpose. So since I'm not an operational guy myself, but I know that you guys are, so that's Jack and Irvin, maybe you guys have any thoughts?
I think that if, okay, let's do a scenario. So if somebody is trying to do a particular attack on .ca through our EPP or through, I don't know, social engineering, they're very persuasive, then I would send an email to everybody to say, hey, watch out, this might be happening.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to tweet that or replicate that. So we need to have some sort of code of conduct or criteria to say, you know, TLP Amber, this is happening, and people know not to retweet. The purpose of the mail contact repository is, I don't think this is a mailing list to deal with secure matter. The contact repository is, if I see a botnet that's specifically attacking Tanzania or whatever, then I use a contact repository to get the contact for that TLD and contact them directly to say, this is happening to you directly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so that would, let's say, the color code red, basically.
Yeah, or somebody starts to do DDoS and they're starting to DDoS a lot of CCTLDs, then we should use a mailing list to notify everybody to say, you know what, we're under attack, watch out, it's coming from here, and it's been hitting a couple of CCs. Then again, that's TLP something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can clearly see scenarios where you want to have information on the list that's not just contract repository related, and I think those are two very good examples. And it's still not a secure list, but at least there's something like these kind of warnings or et cetera that you want to be in there and have some standardized way of saying tweet it this way.
Yeah.
So I think we should allow for some kind of information there, and I think TLP sounds like a great standardized way to do it. So
yeah,
my thinking was, I didn't look into the details that were between the different standards or whatever our version, but I'd say we should stick to the standard if we can and maybe add some examples of how they would apply to the mailing list.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do in the in that slide. I'm not sure if you guys have it in front of you. There's slide 13 if you have the presentation. So slide 11, sorry. It says rules of engagement, and then what I tried to do is take the generic definition of the color codes and then apply it to the TLD ops list. But apparently what I proposed there is somewhat deviating from what the standard definition is. So perhaps one of you guys could review this table once again and have a look how we could better align it with the standard definition of the color codes.
Okay.
Would this something one of you guys would be willing to do?
Well, I think we need to do it on the mailing list, all of us to kind of agree on how we, maybe we do color by color and then.
Yeah, at least on the slide it says TLD ops definition. We shouldn't use that wording because that would imply that we redefined the term or the color.
Yeah, that is correct.
It should just be an explanation and a TLD ops example or something similar.
Oh, okay. That might even be better, yeah. So you
so the definition of the color is the same as what everybody else is using, and then try to find an example or a scenario that would apply to the mailing list to explain more in depth what it is.
So instead of calling it definition, call it explanation? Is that what you're saying?
Usage.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can still call it definition, just not call it DLT definition, because that sounds like it's a specific definition that's different from anything else and only applies to DLT ops.
Yeah, actually, that was why I did this, because the standard definition, which is in the left hand column, is very generic. So Amber, for example, at least what I've got from the page on the Wikipedia site, is that Amber means limited distribution. Okay, what does that mean, limited? So that's why I added that explanation or definition that says, okay, for the TLD ops list, limited distribution means only distributing it within the group of security and stability contacts who are on the list. And then somebody on the call, I think it was the guy from .nz, he said, well, usually Amber means not only distribution on the list, but also with the organizations with which the people on the list are affiliated. So apparently the Amber caller code has somewhat broader definition than what I used here.
Okay. Yeah, that's called a TLD ops implication or implementation or something. And then just check what's there actually, that it fits the normal usage, like you said.
Okay. And then maybe also provide a few examples. Let me try to do that. So what I'll try to do is I'll try to update the table that's currently in that slide. I will change a definition I will remove that and use implementation instead. And I will add an additional column to, provide a few examples.
Let's try this through email. Send an email out.
Yep.
Instead of updating. Call the email, the subject, call it Amber, TLP Amber, and then we can, at the end, we should have a description for green and amber and red.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it like that. All right. So I will provide the first go here. Okay, cool. All right, so that's an action point. So then moving on to the next agenda item, which is the discussion that we had also during the webinar on the use of, on how to share botnet-related information. I think this was a question from Dirk at .eu. And he wanted to know if we could also share botnet-related information on the list.
I think there's value in here of having a ccTLD mailing list, is that if there's a botnet that has a command and control on a ccTLD,
mm-hmm.
that if I see a botnet attacking me and I know that the analysis shows the command and control is under .nl, that I can go here and figure out, tell you guys, this domain is used to attack us or to control a botnet for us. And I think there's value in here.
Yeah. But this is more like, using the list again to get into contact and then contacting .nl directly to inform us of that information.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see value. Also, there might also be scenarios where that's a bit more general for multiple TLDs that you want to actually send it on the list. But I saw people mention automatically generated lists. I don't want to see those on the list, at least, because that would just flood the list and make it less useful for repurposes.
Yeah, that was also one of
very specific information on botnets. That's security related. That would certainly be on the list or used as a good content repository, like Chuck said.
Yeah. So I think that we should not have any automated information on the list, other than the email reminders that we send out ourselves.
Exactly. It should be specific incidents to either inform people or get in touch with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is also somewhat related to the rules of engagement, because if we say that we don't allow automated information on the list, then we should probably mention that somewhere. That might be part of the rules of engagement, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that the consensus is that we do not allow automated information on the list, automated bot information. But of course, you can use the list to in its regular way to contact people about botnets. And maybe there is also information that's quite generic. If there are several ccTLDs, for example, being attacked by a botnet, then you might also want to share that. So it's hard to provide a generic description, I think, of when this would be okay and when it would not be.
Well, the generic description would indeed be very generic, saying if anything security-related and affects any multiple number of TLDs, it might be on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
And not even specific to botnets, just anything security-related that might affect multiple TLDs.
Yeah. Okay, let me write that down. And effects. Okay. All right.
We also have an example, right? The Shinery attacks on the Wiz, and they start with
all the ones.
Yeah, they start with A, B, C, D, so after .cs, then they go to Chile, and then they get the same volume on Wiz, and then it moves, I guess, to U.
Yeah.
DK, and... But we should be more proactive about that stuff and use them. That might be an example of how to use this.
Yep.
Heads up, this is coming. Because some people don't monitor logs well. They don't know these things are happening.
Yeah, actually, that's a good example. I think that, I'm not sure if you guys remember, but we had, let's say, one of the first sections in the draft of the final report was something like motivating scenarios. So I think that initially we were also looking for, scenarios like these to better explain what the TLD ops list might be used for. So this is, I think that this is something that we'll be tackling at the same time. So if we can, update the rules of engagement table and also provide a few examples, then I think that this really has an added value, not only for, let's say, how to use the list, but also to explain the added value of the list.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me try to... somehow integrate that into the TLD ops overview document. So this, what you guys just said, that we allow sharing of information on the list, security information on the list that affects multiple ccTLDs.
Yep. That's a good description.
Yeah. And that includes the use information on botnets. So let me add that to the documents somewhere, to TLD ops overview. All right. Cool. All right. So that was the discussion of on botnet information on the list, which brings us to the agenda item number 6, the summary for the community. I think it's pretty straightforward this time. We need to provide an update of the status in terms of how many ccTLDs we currently have on the list. Say something like, okay, we're updating the rules of engagement. Rules of engagement. And then the conclusion on the botnet discussion on what information you put on the list. You guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Good.
Should we call it rule of engagement or best practice?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I think that initially somebody mentioned that to you, Jack, saying that, okay, what are the rules of engagement? So
yeah.
I basically read that term. I'm not sure the proper one.
I think it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay. We can always change that later on. I mean, that's not really... You're concerned about the expectations it might raise, I think.
Yeah, one is best current practice is this is how you should use it. Rule of engagement, this is how you use it. So one is more...
more of an advice, and this one is more of this is
more
what you must...
authoritative. I think for security, it's got to be more... It can't be a loosey-goosey all over the place. It needs to have controls in place. So you
would offer rules of engagement?
Yeah. Erwin?
I was just thinking what people usually call a traffic light protocol.
Yeah. But the overall rule of engagement of the mailing list, right? It's not just TLP, it's the whole...
It's broader than that, yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. No rule of engagement. If somebody decides to post TLP red information... then it's their right to do so when they know the risk.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's keep it that way. All right. So that was the summary of this conference call, which I will put together probably next week somewhere. And that brings us to any other business. So, Jack, anything else that we should talk about?
Yeah, but I had a question about the DNS Award weekly script. I was trying to figure out what that was. I can't. I know we got the monthly report.
Yeah, but the weekly script is it notifies everybody of new subscribers. So it's basically a script that checks the current list of subscribers against the list of subscribers of last week. And if there is a difference, it sends out an email. If there is no difference, there is no email. And this is something that Gabi's currently doing by hand, and I figured this is something we could automate, and Fred said that's good. So if we have the scripts in place, then we have an update every month, no matter what. So there is going to be one email for everybody at the beginning of the month containing all the subscribers of the list. And there might be a weekly email, depending on if there is a change in the list of subscribers.
Okay.
So if there is no change, then there is no weekly email.
I will email Federico today anyway, because we need to send out the message today. And I don't know if you saw that, those of you who are on the list, but last week we actually sent it out in alphabetic order because it looked so messy otherwise. So, and this is something that script also would do. It would kind of sort it and look more neatly. And I don't know how to do it. It's possible to do it by hand, but I don't understand how to do it. So Federico helped me with that last week because he had not finished that script yet. And if he hasn't finished it yet, I need to contact him anyway so that he helps me to sort it this week again.
Yeah. Okay.
So Federico is working on a script, and he didn't send it to ORC yet. That's right?
Well, last week he just said he didn't have time to work on it, so I'm not sure whether he had time this week and whether he sent it or even developed it. But he said he would, so.
Okay.
So, Jack, maybe you can ping him next week in Dallas.
Yeah.
Dobby's going to do that also, right?
Yeah, today.
Okay. All right. So anything else, Jack, that you would like to bring to the table? Okay. Erwin?
No, except to say I'm on vacation the 30th to the 14th.
30th to the 14th, all right. Okay. So are you not going to be at the next conference call, probably?
Could be.
All right. Okay, Gabi, anything else?
No, just when we should talk again.
We should what?
When should we talk again? When should I do the two doodling for? Which week?
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
15.
Yeah. So today is the 20th. 1, 2. Yeah, maybe you should try something like the week of the 6th of April.
Okay.
Or the week before, so we'll usually do 2 weeks between our conference calls, right? So that today is the 20th, 1, 2. Yeah, so either the week of the, I would say the either on Friday the 3rd of April or the week after.
Many days will have public holiday that day. It's Easter week.
In the week of the 6th, you mean?
Well, also Friday is Good Friday. For some, well, not where I am, but I know for many countries. So.
And Denmark is Thursday as well.
Thursday as well. So
yeah,
it could
five
be tricky.
5 days in Denmark.
Okay, then maybe try, let's say, the 2 weeks. So the week of the 6th and the week of the 13th.
Okay.
That should be
talking
okay.
On mute here. So the 9th would be okay.
Yeah, I can do that too in the morning somewhere. Oh, but that's, of course, no. I can't make it on the 9th.
Okay.
All right, if you can send out a doodle, Gabi, then we'll see if we can find a date.
Do-do-do-do.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Okay, I don't have anything myself either, so with that, I think we can close the call. Thanks, everyone, and have a good weekend.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.